I was looking for an opportunity to be able to actually pay for college. I applied for the Navy's ROTC program. That's the Reserve Officer Training Corps. And I actually went to Holy Cross in Worcester, Massachusetts, and was part of the ROTC unit there and had a full Navy scholarship. I started initially to really just find a way to be able to pay for college, thinking that I'd only spend my 4 years in and then get out. And then 28 years later, you know, I made it a full career. I started off on, you know, ships that were all male ships. I were able to see the first women officers come on board a ship to where, you know, you had a young 22-year-old, you know, woman coming from the Naval Academy or ROTC now be in charge of, you know, 18, 25 guys, and some of the challenges they were in. And certainly a lot of people, naysayers out there saying that they wouldn't perform well. And I saw exactly the opposite. Not only were they professional, they typically outperformed their male counterparts. I had a strong mother and I saw what she, you know, brought to the table. And so I didn't feel like I didn't come in thinking that they wouldn't perform well. I had an opportunity on my second tour to be on the aircraft carrier, the Carl Vinson. I was a tactical action officer. I had 97 people working for me. So I really had an opportunity to really challenge my leadership abilities, but also kind of see some of the full scope of what the Navy was all about. And I enjoyed that piece. But I would tell you, too, that I was really kind of looking to transition out at that point in time. And Desert Shield, Desert Storm happened. Being part of that, certainly a strong amount of patriotism during that period of time, had the opportunity to really see the entire military forces in action, and I decided to go take another assignment. I talked earlier about having, you know, 97 people working for me or 50 people working for me. Now I have large departments. You know, I'll have, you know, 150, 200 people working for me regularly. Now I've been an executive officer of a ship and basically responsible for the 300 personnel on board that ship and the embarked Marines. The ship that I was on was the USS Mount Vernon. And I was anticipating that I would get a command assignment to be in command of a ship. As I got screened for, you know, command at sea, my slating was for a command of a recruiting district. I'll be honest with you, that was a big transition in my career because I had been basically on ships my entire career. And so now I really needed to fundamentally change how I looked at my career and do I stay or go. I had Navy Recruiting District San Diego. It was basically from Los Angeles all the way down to the border and pretty much all of Nevada and a good chunk of Arizona as well. It ends up being kind of a sprawled out command. Instead of having everything, you know, intact, you know, on a ship, you're basically spread out across a very large region. When I was in college, I actually did a little bit of direct sales of, you know, selling books door to door. So I'm not trying to tell you selling books door to door is the same as recruiting somebody into the military. I'm not. Certainly to do military recruiting is a much more difficult task. But at least gave me the sense of, you know, what, you know, putting yourself out there, being able to, you know, expand your market, all of those types of things, which I think are essential to have a successful recruiting organization. I was a natural at it. I would be able to go into individual stations and kind of know instantly what the problems individual stations were having and be able to actually give them good advice and give them support so they could actually be successful. We were probably in the middle of the pack, about 15, 16 in the nation, and really within the first year we were number one in the nation. And for three successive years we were number one. That got my name out there and noticed for being the top recruiter in the nation for the Navy. There was a desire to be able to really strengthen the diversity directorate, is what they call it, in the Navy. And during that time, you know, Admiral Harvey, who was the chief of naval personnel, knew of my exploits in recruiting. So, you know, he asked me very clearly to be able to bring my recruiting skills to how we approach diversity. Probably the only limitation was my own thinking about this. Being a white guy, taking on the diversity lead role, you know, how is that going to play internally, externally? Admiral Masso, who was the deputy CMP, Admiral Harvey's deputy, was the first person to really sit down and talk to me about it. And he actually went through a very long kind of chronology of civil rights movement and, you know, John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson, and really what a lot of white men have done for civil rights throughout history. But more than that, you know, talking about it from a standpoint, hey, this isn't just one of these issues that, you know, you have to be, you know, a minority or a woman to be in this job. You know, it's about everybody being involved because, you know, after all, white guys are diverse too. You know, not only did I feel empowered, but I was really excited, charged up, ready to go after having that discussion. And I would tell you that, you know, certainly I think it's given me some opportunities. Certainly there are some challenges with that. But, you know, I've approached it that there are a lot of, you know, amongst white males, there's a lot of diversity amongst that group as well. And I think that it's important to be able to not necessarily attack white guys in the organization, but try to bring them along to actually get them to be part of the solution. It's critical to your effort. And I think that a lot of times people tend to ignore that group or kind of say that they're the problem. And let's not have them be the problem. Let's have them be part of the solution. And so I think from the standpoint of being able to be open to the idea of having a, you know, a white male be in charge of diversity, I think is a growth. It shows growth in your organization because you say, hey, everybody's part of this effort. We spent a lot with our 2037 strategy that we called it, also a moving the needle strategy, where we actually worked with the Naval Academy and we worked with the folks on ROTC and the recruiting commands to really broaden their reach to get into some of the expanding markets and emerging markets inside the United States. And I think for the most part, you know, we've really been successful in doing that. And if you look at the outreach activities of the Navy over the past 5 or 6 years, you know, they've exponentially grown. We're in a solid position. And I think people that have, you know, looked at the Navy and said, hey, they're doing it the right way, or this is a very positive program, it's because, hey, it starts with outreach. You've got to actually be out in those markets to be able to find the talent that you seek to bring in. You know, I found from my recruiting days that it wasn't that people were saying no to the military. They just did not know. So, I mean, that was the bottom line, making that connection, showing them the opportunities, and see if there was a fit for those individuals.